Welcome to Anchor Bible Church. I'm Jamie, the pastor here along the Oregon coast. We're going to pick up in 1 Samuel 28, the witch of Endor. First Samuel 28, verse 15. And we'll conclude our third part here. It says, "And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." And so, again, the situation is the Philistines are coming. The Philistines are going to invade. Their army is set up, and Saul and his army for Israel is set up against the Philistines, and it looks like they're in a bad situation. And the Lord has worked through Israel, even though Israel normally is smaller than other nations. Even though there's fewer people, God gets the glory when working with little Israel. And so here we see in verse 15, this whoever, we believe it's a demon disguised as Samuel, said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me, unquieted, to bring me up, up from the dead?" Well, here we understand that maybe when you're departed, you go to be with the Lord. So really, Samuel would say, if it was a real Samuel, "Why did you bring me down from heaven? I was content in rest with the Lord." And so you could see there, yes, disquieted, that would be there. But to bring me up, well, really to, that's the wrong direction. He should have come down. So we see that he goes on to say, "For the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me and answereth me no more." So God has departed from him. God is not on speaking terms with him. God's not working with him. He's, Saul is more like the walking dead than the Samuel is. So because he's dead spiritually, he's dead. He's not dead physically, but he doesn't have life. He doesn't have any new life in him. He's not been given life from the Lord, and he's proven that. So we can understand that Saul is probably not a saved man, and he's talking to through a witch who's not a saved woman, talking to maybe a fake Samuel, a demon who is a fallen angel, would be a demon. So all this is a bad situation. God has departed from me. So if God's departed from him, again here it says, "And he answereth me no more, neither by prophets." Prophets. Well, Samuel's a prophet. If God's not answering through a prophet, well, I guess here you would say that then the Lord was compelled to work through the familiar spirit, compelled to bring Samuel up from the dead, compelled to do. See, the whole thing's wrong. It's God is in control. God is in charge, not the devil. God is God, acting as God, and not the witch or the woman who is going through a familiar spirit. You see, the whole thing is the opposite of who God is and what he's doing. God has stopped working this way, and so whatever is happening then is not of the Lord. That's the conclusion we must come to in Scripture here. So it's not of God. Well, who is it of? Well, it's most likely of the devil himself, the familiar spirit. Because it said Saul talked to it, and he didn't talk to Samuel. In First Chronicles, we see when we verse that we read in section one or part one, it was Saul didn't get in trouble for talking to Samuel. It says he talked to it, a familiar spirit, a demon, and so he sought after God's arch enemy, the unclean demons, the unholy demons, these sinful and sinning demons, the demons who are sinners in God's sight. And so what a terrible, terrible things. So he said, I've called thee that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. What should I do? What should I do? So verse 16 says, "Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing that the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy?" So there's really nothing new here. no new revelation at this point that the evil spirit gives. Well, the Lord's departed from thee. Well, yeah, the evil spirits know where the Holy Spirit is, where God is, what God's doing, and where God isn't. And so, you know, who has the Spirit and who doesn't? And today, who's saved, who's born again, and who's not? Well, the devil knows those things. And so, so when he's interacting, the evil spirit's interacting via the image of Samuel, then he's giving some truth, although he's not giving the total truth. In verse 17, "And the Lord hath done to him, and he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent or torn the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David." So this is already told Saul. Saul already knows this. These things are already known in Israel, actually, as well. Other people know it too. And so Saul was chasing David partly because he understood this very thing. So there's nothing new that is given here. Verse 18, "Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord." Well, Samuel already told them that before. So the devil already has access to all this information. "Nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek," which he didn't, which Samuel already told him about that. Of course, the devil is probably there listening. "Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day." What did he do to them? What did he do to him? So he brought the Philistines against them. Verse 19, "Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me, or be dead. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." And so here is a little bit of maybe some new information here, although not totally, because Samuel already knew about some things about his death. But yet, so he's going to die, and tomorrow's going to be the day. Well, maybe he didn't know about that part. So maybe there's something new there. But in general, it's things that has already been disclosed and already known. Verse 20, "Then Saul fell straightway all along the earth, and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day, nor all the night." And so the words that were given by Samuel, normally we would be encouraged with the word of the Lord. We would be repentant. Again, they're fear and faith can't go together. They're not in the same room together. They can't abide together. So whatever is happening here of Saul, it's of fear, and it's not of the Lord. And so we would believe that it's of the devil and of the fleshly, sinful Saul, his reaction to those things as well. Notice this here, though. It's supposed to be Samuel coming back from the dead. From Scripture, we understand that death is a one-way street. You can't turn around and come back. So whenever someone did come back from the dead, for example, Jesus, our Lord, came back from the dead. He died, was buried, was raised again. Resurrection. He says in Revelation, "Behold, I was the one that was dead. I'm alive forevermore. I'm not to die again." So he did come back from the dead. But he was in a body. He was in a body. Lazarus, he died. And the Lord said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he did. And he came, and they had to take the grave clothes off of him and unwrap him, because he was in his body that they buried him in. See, when people came back from the dead, they were raised from the dead. Peter and Paul had raised from the dead. Elijah raised some from the dead. They came back in their bodies. It wasn't some mystical ghost-like thing that came back and talked with people. No, that would be the familiar spirit. That would be the evil demon spirit that was there. So God's communication is through his word, through the Bible, not from someone returning from the dead without a body. And so here, because we see, well, they just saw what Samuel looked like. In fact, it looks like that Saul never did see Samuel, but he only listened to the description of Samuel. What form is he? What does he look like? I can't see him. tell me what he looks like. See, so it was the evil spirit contacting and the woman. And obviously, she was not a believer either. There was a one thing that happened. Remember, in Abraham's bosom, Abraham was in Abraham's bosom, or Lazarus had died, another Lazarus, and then he went to Abraham's bosom, and then a man died, and he went into torment, into hell, because he was not a believer. He hadn't been saved, hadn't trusted Christ as his Savior. And he said to Abraham, go raise up Lazarus from the dead and send him back to my brothers, because I don't want them to come to this place of torment. They need to get saved so that they don't go to hell. But Abraham said, this is recorded in Luke 16, he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went up from the dead, they will repent, and their brothers will repent. They'll change their mind. They'll trust Christ as Savior. And he said unto him, so Abraham answers back, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, where do we find Moses and the prophets? Well, it's in our Bible. It's in the Bible. So what he's saying, no, they already have the Bible. They have God's words. They didn't have as many books in the Bible at this time in the New Testament or in the prior to Christ's death and resurrection is what we have today. Now we have the New Testament added there as well. But when Christ was upon this earth, they had the Bible. They had the whole Old Testament. So if they hear not, if they don't heed, if they don't pay attention to or listen to or repent of their sins and turn to the Messiah, because they have Moses, what Moses said, and the prophets, you know, things like Samuel is a prophet, 1 and 2 Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, neither will they be persuaded. See, that's what repentance is, that you're persuaded that you're the sinner and you need Christ as your Savior. The one rose from the dead. So our understanding and the conclusion of that is the Bible is more powerful and persuasive than the dead, someone returning or someone returning from the dead. So God does not talk to people through our dead loved ones. They die and they don't return. They don't come back, even in partial form. We'll go to meet them if they're believers as well. And so we'll go that direction, but the dead don't come back here. So we do know that the dead in Christ shall rise first at the rapture, and then we which are alive and remaining will be caught up, snatched up together with them to be with the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so there is a resurrection. There's a resurrection of everyone, of the just and of the unjust, unto life and to damnation and death. And so everyone gets resurrected, but people don't come back, not in a body, and to talk, because God has already given us his Bible. And we have to ask ourselves, are we, you know, looking for astrology or a seance or a Ouija board or a wizard or a warlock or a witch or a book of magic spells and potions and things like that? Or are we looking to the living God, the living Jesus Christ, who is risen, ascended, and coming again? We look into his words in the Bible. We have them. Are we persuaded that the Bible is true, and we're looking to the Bible and not to some other spiritual means of communication, trying to get some kind of help and guidance and advice that is an ungodly, unclean, and the wrong place to go to? So we see that 1 Samuel chapter 28 is our passage about the witch of Endor. And then the rest of the verse basically is them persuading Saul to get something to eat, and then Saul heads out. And so finally, that's what happens in the rest of this passage. But remember our one verse that we had Was it, so Saul died for his transgression, 1 Chronicles 10:13, which he had committed against the Lord. We have to ask ourselves, do we have transgressions against the Lord that we've committed? Have we done things wrong against the Lord? Have we sinned against the Lord with our lips, things that we've said, with our hands, things that we've done, with our life, things that we have done, with our bodies? Even so, or excuse me, even against the word of the Lord. See, that's it. We transgress against God, his very words, his standards for us, his moral standards and his standards of life for us. But not only that, do we look to God for spiritual advice, spiritual counsel, spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding, because God is a spirit, and the Holy Spirit has given his words that are spirit. So Saul, which he kept not God's words, and also Saul died for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. May we be not among those who ask counsel of one that has a familiar spirit. May we not go into those things that are spiritually dark and dangerous and wrong. May we live in the light of God's word, walk in the light as he is in the light, not to inquire of evil things, but to inquire of the Lord. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. God's will be done. So when we take all these observations together and we look at all these things, whatever is happening in 1 Samuel 28 is not of the Lord. Yes, God's in control. He's sovereign. He knows everything that's going on. These are his words that we're reading. But Saul is at a very low spiritual condition, very low spiritual state. He did not turn to the Lord. He had warnings over and over again. And finally, the Lord was quiet. It's as if he said, that's enough. That's it. And dear listener, may we not ever get to that situation where, in a sense, that God will give us over to a hard heart. May our hearts be soft to the Lord, listening to the word. Understanding God's word. We have a key verse on here. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the word of the Lord, that it's God's Bible. When we listen to the Bible and read the Bible, that's where faith comes from, looking at the words of faith, the doctrines of faith, the faith that's really the Bible, the Christian faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. Dear listener, let's be careful of understanding as we look into God's words and we practice what we should in Scripture. And if these have been helpful for you, we trust that you'll share them with others. Thanks for listening. May God bless you.